All right, what's good, guys? Kyle Loft is here. And before we jump into this killer episode, I just want to make sure to remind you guys of all the great things we got going on with Jump Studios. Jump Studios, if you haven't heard before, is a CRM platform we are building to help creators like yourself run, manage, and optimize their video production business.
To the moon.
And we are open. We are open for business. We are in beta testing mode right now. So what that means is we are working with creators just like yourself to build the ultimate CRM platform. And we want you to be a part of it. So how can you get involved?
You got to go to jumpstudios.io. It's free to sign up right now. Get involved. You can start using the platform to upload videos, send review links to your clients, send final presentation links that's branded across your company with your logo and your watermark on your videos and final download assets. And then we have a perks platform where you can get discounts to a lot of industry partners and so much more. So head on over to jumpstudios.io. Give us your feedback. Let us know how we can make this the best platform ever to help you grow your video business. And then we'll see you on the inside. Now let's get on with the episode.
Let's do it.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Learn Videography, a podcast dedicated to mastering the art and business of becoming a full-time videographer. Presented by Industry Jump. Hosted by director Kyle Loftus and producer JJ Englert. Let's go.
Welcome back to Learn Videography, your podcast to learn everything you need to know about becoming a full-time videographer. As always, I'm here with my co-host Kyle Loftus and our special guest for today, Edgar Estevez, a director and business owner in Los Angeles. How are we doing, gentlemen?
What up, everybody? What up, Kyle? What up, JJ? How you feeling?
Fantastic, man.
Feeling great, man. Stoked to have you on this pod.
Yeah.
Excited to learn about your journey as a director, a cinematographer.
Before we start this, I need to give you guys a shout out to that intro because I did not expect that.
Yeah.
And that intro is epic. Just so you guys know.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The whole thing, I'm like, yo, this is all right. All right.
I love it. For our listeners, we're going to talk to Edgar about how he got started as a filmmaker, as a music video director, producer, cinematographer, business owner of Forbes 30 Under 30. Let's go. How do you do it all, Edgar? Man, so excited to hear it, man. Kyle, why don't we get started, though, with the first question?
Yeah, let's get right down to it. You know, like what inspired you to be a filmmaker? Where did it all first start for you? And then how did you start, you know, building your career, start making your first videos? Let's hear that origin story.
Yeah, well, being a filmmaker, it really just came from me graduating high school. And a lot of people don't know this, but as I just came out recently, letting people know that I was undocumented for 27 years of my life. So I never had like my papers. I was an immigrant in this country. I came when I was like a year old and I overdue my stay. And from there, I just got my citizenship last year at like 28 years old. So like it was been a long grind.
Congrats.
So when I came out of high school, I wanted to go to college. I wanted to do a bunch of things, but obviously I couldn't because I didn't have the right documentation. So I kind of had to intern at a bunch of places.
Damn.
I had a marketing company, a videography company, a music studio, two music studios, and a nightclub photography company. And then I was kind of like looking around and kind of seeing what I wanted to do. And in high school, I used to make these little YouTube videos, and you can still search them up. I think it's on like Kid Jerk 1029 YouTube channel or E-Dog 1029. I forgot. But I used to go around school and tell people like, yo, I'm going to be famous one day. I don't know how, but like, I'm going to be a fucking big star. And I was just talking my shit, just dancing around the school and just, I don't know, just talking shit to people. And I put it on YouTube, and some of those videos actually went pretty good at the time. Like if you're getting 300,000 views back in 2008, you know what I'm saying? It's like people are looking at you like, holy fuck. I was doing that. And then I knew how to edit, and me and my friends would make home movies when we were like in middle school. So I was like, let me try this. Because I wanted to do music and I also had a passion for film and editing. So I was like, how about I combine them, put them together and start shooting music videos. And then the rest was history from there.
Oh,
incredible.
Yeah. So
to just dive a bit deeper, could you talk to us just about, you know, like maybe like your first big video project, or, you know, like maybe you could share a little bit about on the backstory of like, you know, you and kind of coming up and doing some videos with Russ and how that relationship kind of, you know, helped you in your career as well and all of that.
Yeah. About the videos, it's funny because the first music video I ever shot was And this is kind of like, and I look back at it, and I think this is a very important lesson for everybody to kind of learn. It's like, when you look back at things, you kind of start realizing little things that something in life was just trying to show you at the time. So one of my best friends, his name's Ivan Berrios. I don't know if you guys know him. He works with DJ Khaled, takes photos of Jay-Z, Beyonce, Nas. He does a lot of stuff. So at the time, he was working at a shoe store when we were like 17 years old. And I remember he had a coworker, Robert Wayne Footwear at Sawgrass Mall. And I remember him having a coworker named J.O. And I remember like being able to see, like he had one song that I was just like, it was called Seed in Her Eye. And I was like, yo, this is a hit record. Like, this is such an amazing song. I'm like, yo, how do you not have a video to this? And then he's like, I don't know. Shit, I work at a shoe store. Like, who gives a fuck? You get me? And then I was like, all right, let me. That's like the first time I realized that I had like a talent for like seeking talent. And then I was like, so I felt like a lot of artists had a lot of good music, but they didn't have the right visuals to them. And that's why they weren't going to where they went. So back circle your question about Russ, is the same thing happened with him. So when I saw Russ, I was looking at him and I was like, yo, this guy is so incredibly unbelievable in the sense of his talent. And I was like, yo, if I could just shoot videos for this guy, I think he would blow the fuck up. And that's kind of what happened. You get me? He was dropping a song a week. I caught notice early. And then I reached out to him and I said, let's shoot everything. And then he's like, wait, what do you mean let's shoot everything? And at this time, I've already been doing, you know, I've already worked with Lil Wayne and J. Cole and French Montana and Rick Ross and DJ Khaled. So at this time, I've already been doing stuff just on a smaller scale, but still some big names. And then he was just like, yo, like, let's fucking go crazy. Let's go do something. Like, let's just go fucking video after video. And I was like, yo, if you're with it, I'm with it. I think if we shoot a bunch of free videos, I think you're going to start seeing it pop. And then once we get the money, we can start funding bigger budgets and go from there. So the first three videos we did for $0, you get me? It was What They Want, losing Control, and Do It Myself. All those videos were just $0 videos that we just popped in, shot a music video real quick. And to this day, I think they're some of my biggest videos with like 500 million views.
Damn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you, that resonates with me so much. Like, how do you put into words or I guess, can you describe more a bit, like just on the power of making like those personal investments, if you will, you know, and it's just in different individuals and the importance of kind of, you know, I guess really building a strong foundation and furthering each other's careers, you know, with other artists like that.
Yeah, I have a little quote that I say, just if I believe it, I invest in it, I make money off of it, and I repeat it. So basically, all I do is just follow my heart. You get me? I really just follow my intuition, and things that I like, I just try to be a part of. You get me? If I see something that I want to do, or if I see, like today, I just saw a TikToker on like this Asian girl who's like big into sports and basketball. And I was like, yo, I want to start a show with you. You get me? And it's just like, that's like the kind of like impulsiveness and, you know, fearlessness you have to have. And just as soon as you have a great idea, you're like, yo, I want to reach out to you. Let's make it happen. And like, literally, like, don't be one of those people that say, oh, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to reach out to you. Be like, yo, like, go the whole back and forth and nothing goes nowhere. Like, I'm the type of guy where once it starts, it ends. You get me? Like, we're going to finish this thing and we're going to take it all the way. And I still tell Russ every day, and I'm like, yo, like, let's shoot more videos. Let's take you to that number one level. Like, we still have a lot more work to do. You get me? Like, when I started this, I'm telling you, I'm going to finish it. When you're number one, we'll have finished our objective. But till then, we're not done with the work. So that's just how I approach everything in life. And, you know, it's a great quality to have. And I feel like a lot of directors could learn from that, because I feel like a lot of them feel slighted because they're feeling like they're getting taken advantage of or this or that. But if you can look at it in a more positive way, and you can understand that at the end of the day, you're just learning and you're getting experience and you're getting all this stuff that's priceless information that's going to actually build a chip on your shoulder to go even harder so you can continue your dreams and do stuff that you really want to do.
Yeah, I mean, you've mentioned some incredible artists that you've worked with, like Lil Wayne and J. Cole and everything. How did you get to that point where you were working with them? You know, like that you must have, was it just shooting free videos, so many of them that got, or how was that door open for you where you were able to work with this level of talent?
Yeah, well, you know, right time, right place. You get me? Like I started off doing some nightclub photography. So I was doing nightclub photography for like clubs in Miami, like Live and Dream and all these type of clubs. And I would meet certain people. Next thing you know, I would meet like a local celebrity. I'll shoot their music video. Then I would shoot, once they saw their music video, then one day like Ace Hood's management reached out to me and he was like, yo, I want you to shoot a video for Ace Hood. And then from Ace Hood, it was like, oh, I'm going to introduce you to DJ Khaled at the time. And then DJ Khaled was like, oh shit, he introduced me to Lil Wayne, Birdman, and he introduced me to Rick Ross and all of them. And then from there, it was like, oh shit. And I just kept making connections over connections. And then I remember being at like Khaled's studio when I was younger and being like, all right, I'm just going to go today. And I lived like 45 minutes away from it and I didn't have a car. You get me? So I would like take the tri-rail just to get there. Mm-hmm. And I would sit there in the studio, even if no one was coming, just waiting. Like, and then one day I was in there and I was on my laptop and next, you know, J. Cole walks behind me and I'm like, yo, that's J. Cole. You get me? Like, that's that new guy on the music scene right now. Crazy. And then next thing you know, I'm like, watch, I bet they're going to call me for a music video tomorrow. So I just stayed around and I was like, I stayed up that night and granted 4 a.m, DJ Khaled called me with French Montana and he says, yo, we got a video to shoot. And I'm like, what the fuck? All right, cool. When do you want to shoot it? I'm thinking, you're going to give me a week or something. <So dope. laughs> Oh no, we want to shoot it today. And oh yeah, and we got $2,000 and it's 4 a.m. And he's like, I want to shoot at 8 a.m. because we're about to leave. They're like, oh, we're going to leave the studio in a few hours. So I was like, 8 a.m. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, damn. I don't, like, there's nothing open. You get me? And I'm just like, it's 4 a.m. I have to wait to at least 6 a.m. just to like, if a studio wants to open. But somehow miraculously at 6 a.m, I call a studio. They happen to reach back. I was like, yo, I need a favor. Can you please make it happen for me? I'll pay you whatever. I'll even come out of pocket if you need me to. And then we shot a video called French featuring Rick Ross and J. Cole called Diamonds. And the rest was history. And then, but the thing is, they didn't even show up till 5 p.m. You get me? And I was there at 8 a.m. and I didn't even sleep that night.
Oh no.
And it's just like, but these are those funny stories that, you know, you could tell and you could look back and reflect on because me and French just did a video that's, you know, over $250,000, like literally a few days ago. You get me? So it just goes to show you that, like, you know, that was in 2012 and it's 2021 now. So it's like, that's been what, 9 years in the making. And it just goes to show you that you have to be persistent and you just got to keep going because those same artists that are not looking at you right now, if you keep going and keep working and keep making videos that they'll want, then they're going to reach out to you and they're going to give you those budgets and those opportunities. You just have to be prepared.
Listen, guys, we all need killer music tracks for our videos.
Amen.
It's simple. But the difficult part is finding the right service to subscribe to, right? Wrong. AudioSocket, hands down, guys, it's simple. Largest library around, over 80,000 various tracks. They work with over 2,000 different artists, over 200 different genres.
Yeah. Oof.
Guys, they have everything and anything you need when it comes to licensed music for your projects.
Yeah, you got to check them out. AudioSocket.com. If you go over to our link in bio on Instagram or in the podcast description, you'll even get your first month free. And with plans starting as low as $10 a month, I mean, you have like literally nothing to lose. 80,000 songs, licensing for all your videos. You have enough songs for more videos than you would produce in your lifetime for as low as $10 a month. I mean, come on. Go on over to our link in bio, get that promotion, take advantage of it. You will not regret it. It's a really awesome professional service that you can provide to your clients. Don't get caught with music that you can't use in your videos. Do it right, do it professionally, and get started with AudioSocket.com. Go check them out.
One of the things, you know, I gotta praise you for and commend you for, I love, is just like your energy and the way you approach things. I want to know, like, how important, well, I mean, just share with us, you know, how much of a difference you think would have made, you know, if you approached that situation differently. I'm assuming you brought that high energy and positive attitude, even though, you know, they said to be there at 8 a.m, but they didn't show up till 5 p.m., you know, and you might have had to pay out of pocket, you know, like you had all these things going against you. But from what I know about you, Edgar, I'm assuming, you showed up there yelling, being aggressive, you know, being positive, lifting them up and just making them have a good time. How important was that to, you know, fostering that relationship?
Yeah, no, I think that's how you got to look at everything. And like I said, like the music video stuff, not to say it's easy, but it's like I've been in a situation where we're growing up, it was a lot harder for me. You get me? So things were very, very hard for us, me and my family, just to try to, like, you know, anything, like my mom take me to the groceries or me go on a date with a girl. Like, it was hard for me to do it because my parents couldn't drive. I couldn't drive. And we all had to figure this thing out. We had one cell phone to the family. So when you have those type of things, it's like not really that hard to, like, look at things positive because you've already done things that you know, can make you feel so negative. And I've already overcame that. So once I got to music videos, I was like, if I got to wait 10 hours, I don't really care, because it's like, at least I'm here doing what I love and I have the opportunity to chase this. And I'm working with big artists with good names. And I know once I do the video, it's going to come out there and more people are going to reach out to me. And I just have to look at it in that positive light. And that's kind of like what you said. It's like, that's how I try to approach everything. Even to this day on set, like, you know, when artists show up late or something like that, I'm cool. Like, you got me? I'm like, all right, let's keep shooting some B-roll. Let's finish this stuff. Let's shoot the dancers. Let's go do something else, because I just like to keep shit moving, because, you know, you can't really wait on these artists. And, you know, and you just have to make your shit foolproof, where you're right. It starts from like writing the idea to like actually executing the idea and understanding who you're working with. Like, if you're working with an artist who's infamously known to show up late on sets, like, what do you expect? You get me? It's like dating a girl who's just very promiscuous and you think she's not going to cheat on you. It just doesn't work like that, you know?
When did you start your production company? Was that like 5 years into your career? Like, when did that happen and why?
Okay, I started my production company, really only the reason was there's this company out of Boca, and I don't know if I should say their name. I don't really want to like bring their thing up, but like I remember one time. In 2013, I had a chance to do like an $80,000 video, right? For this country artist named Jana Kramer. Mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit, I'm getting a chance to do a country music video. Never done country at this time, except like a little small video, like $5,000 that they saw, and that's what got me the job. And then I was like, I'm about to shoot some pop country music video. I've never done this. It's super cool. It's a female. I'm like, I'm about to get my hand a Lux Davis on, and I'm about to make that shit pop, and I'm going to make that shit glossy. And next thing you know, it's like I end up finding out that the producer only gave me $40,000 in the budget to write the idea. So when I got lied to by a production company, that's what made me really want to start my production company, because I literally drove from Fort Lauderdale to Nashville, Tennessee with my friends in like a beater car, like staying in one hotel when we had $40,000 extra that they just pocketed. So when they did that, I was like, oh shit. Wow. So in 2014, I decided to start my own company, because I'm like, I can't, like, the ownership in me was like, nah, don't do that, because they're going to take advantage of you. And all these production companies are going to start calling you because you're working with all these hot artists and they're just going to take advantage of you. And it's just one of those things where you live and you learn. Like, sadly, I didn't come in this game with like a mentor who taught me every little thing that I know. And I had to find out things the hard way. But at the end of the day, I'm so glad I did that, because it really taught me a lot of valuable life lessons. So it taught me how to start my own business. And I researched everything obsessively. And I was like, I'm gonna start a production company. I went to my accountant, started S Corp. And 2014, it was history from there.
Awesome, man. Awesome, man. What was like, and you got this business formed.
Yeah. I was going to say, and to go on to that fact, I really do. I hope every director can understand how to start their own business too, because I think a lot of people get so caught up in the creative where it's like they forget the business. And what's the quality of your video if your quality of life is not where you want it to be? You get me? Especially if you're putting in all this hard work, sweat and tears, like most of us do. And I really encourage every director, every producer to really just have the company of their own and to form great partnerships and to, you know, form great relationships and work with other companies so you guys can share the work and there's plenty enough for all of us, and having that mentality, because I think that's very important. I think that's something that the game is missing. A lot of people are just trying to, you know, take, where it's like, where I believe in, like, if we can just, you know, all come together and really, like, you know, help the directors and the producers and the people who are really slaving themselves every day for these videos can really come together and really start some great companies, I think we're gonna be in good spots. Is the thing is, we have executive producers who have no background in film, and they come in just with capital, which you need, obviously, and they come in and they basically, you know, they just basically hire all the people who don't have the money. And I get it. It makes great business sense for them. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of more directors need to step up and turn into executive producers and give more opportunities to more directors, because nobody's gonna know, like, I have my directors all the time on set being like, yo, I'm about to go overtime, but I don't have the budget and I already lost my rate. I don't care. I want to make it great. So I said, yo, lose my rate too, because I want to make it great for you. You get me? And I know it doesn't make business, but like it helps the quality of our product. And, you know, the money comes, you know, we chase the art and, you know, hopefully, everything lines up from there.
Yeah. I mean, that's so much of what this podcast is about for Kyle and I, is just teaching the business side of it. You know, like we want to be able to create more, but in order to create more, we got to run a good business, you know, and running a business is really hard. There's so much to it, you know, and it takes a lot of time and you got to learn a lot of new skills, but there's a huge empowering thing about having your own business and running the show and really figuring out like how you want to control things. So props to that, man. I completely agree. When you started your business, you know, did you just start working with everybody that you're already working with? Or how did you start to make the moves of like, hey, this is my ship now. I want to, you know, bring it this way. You know, like how did you form your team and, you know, and kind of start to grow it?
Yeah, well, in 2014, I started my business. And then it was like, at the beginning, it was just something I could, you know, get paid taxes on and stuff like that. And I'm like, all right, cool. I made a logo because I needed to. But other than that, I was like, I'm not going to really take it that serious because I never learned how to be an entrepreneur by then. You get me? Like, I was still learning being a worker at certain points. So I was like, all right, cool. Let me figure out this business side. So I started even like doing my taxes and, you know what I mean, like write-offs. And one time, like I was doing this video and then I thought I paid the location and the check bounced and I thought I had the money in my account. So I had like $11,000 in my account thinking I'm fucking rich. Like, you know, no one can tell me shit. And I'm like over here living my best life. And then I'm at the club with my friends. I like 19, 20 years old. I'm like, I got 11 grand in my account. I'm 19, 20 years old and I'm not going to give a fuck. So I started buying clothes and I started living my best life and doing all these things. And then I realized that the location for a video bounced and it actually never got deposited. So I spent the 11,000.
Yeah.
And then the location's like, hey, we never got paid. And I was like, what? Like, what the fuck? Like, how do you not get paid? And it was like, the amount was like 11,500. I'll never forget it. And it was a Georgia broadcast center in Atlanta. And then I was like, damn. So I spent all this money. Now there people. These people are asking me, you got to pay us in 2 weeks. If not, we're going to get legal involved. So I'm like, so then I had to shoot like 7 videos just to make $11,500 just so I could pay them and then, you know, eat that debt. And that's what people don't see in entrepreneurship. You get me? They don't see those moments. And obviously it was my own fault, but it's just, you know, you live and you learn and you make those mistakes. And that's just what it's all about. And that's what's fun about being an entrepreneur is that you get a chance to learn and, you know, control the situations. And it's up to you and how hard you work to see the outcome of what your results are, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I can already tell just by you talking that, you know, people gravitate to you for your energy and your personality and your attitude. But what kind of tips could you give to our listeners about like how they can start to work with bigger artists? You know, like how they can take that next step to, you know, going into the big leagues?
Yeah, I really think it's just all about finding, if you're trying to do music videos per se, I think it would just basically, you know, find artists that you're passionate about and that you believe in. You get me? And artists that want to collaborate with you and see their vision through as much as you want to see their vision through. And I think when you do that, it's kind of like with me and Russ, with me and a kid named Jake Miller, with me and DJ Khaled at a certain point, me and Ace Hood, all these artists, you know, I worked very, very closely with them and I learned a lot from them. You get me? Like I learned a lot of marketing and social media tips from Jake Miller. I learned a lot about manifestation and inspiration through Russ. I learned a lot about the business and how even if people are going to laugh at you, just go get it from DJ Khaled. You got me? And I learned all those beautiful attributes and those I kind of got shaped into my own person, you know, meeting all these other individuals and entrepreneurs. And when they became successful, they walked me into rooms that I probably wouldn't walk in if it was just me. So because at the time I wasn't as elevated as they probably were, but I just played like, you know, a fly on the wall. I learned a lot. I was a sponge. I studied and, you know, I decided to, you know, kind of just do my own thing from there once I got to a certain point. But I think for artists, for directors who want to, you know, find a way to work with different artists and stuff like that is reach out, you know, and don't be scared to reach out to people. You get me? That's why we have social media. Like I used to blow up until this day. I still DM about 20 to 30 artists a day. And I say, let's work. You get me? Till this day, let's work. Camera emoji, camera emoji, camera emoji. The same thing I sent Russ. Let's work. Let's work. Let's work. I copy and paste it to artists that I see. And I'm like, I'm hearing a playlist in my car. And I'm like, all right, cool. At the red light, I'll send a little DM to that artist and be like, yo, let's work. Let's work. And then what's beautiful about that is that you're planting a seed to eventually one day have a forest. So those seeds, I have artists that I hit up in 2016 saying, let's work. 2017, let's work. 2018, let's work. 2019, let's work. 2020, let's work. And then 2021, they hit me up and they say, yo, man, you've been hitting me off for these years, man. I didn't even notice, man. I didn't even check my DMs. But bro, let's work. And then that's how it goes. And you just kind of got to be very.
Let's work.
Yeah. And now we're working. You get me?
I love it. That has to be like the thing for this episode is let's work.
Yeah.
Take away that, listeners. Yeah. Let's work. I love
it. Let's have fun too. You get me? Like, let's make this an enjoyable experience. And, you know, and working with artists who are not going to just make, you know, when an artist is taking advantage of you, you get me? People aren't dumb. You get me? And it's just like, I feel like people just need to be more aware and just be like, all right, if I am going to be taken advantage of, then what's the reason of me even doing this? You get me? And if you're not willing to sacrifice that, then you shouldn't work with that artist. And maybe you should find someone else that fits more of your culture and your more morals and work ethic. And we can go from there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, man, I just like can't even begin to put into words, I feel like, how important, you know, relationship building is, especially in like music video, in the music video industry, because, you know, without having a strong relationship or building, you know, a lot of trust with an individual, like there's no way of ever really guaranteeing, I guess, someone's a retainer client, right? Whereas, you know, in commercial or corporate, like you can kind of build that out. Whereas with the music industry, I find it's a bit different. So it's like, I guess, like, how do you, Edgar, like, what are some tips you have for like maintaining relationships, keeping that kind of strong foundation with artists, that, you know, sometimes maybe you're only doing a music video with them once every year, once every 6 months, you know, how do you make sure that they always keep coming back to you?
And I'll tell you exactly. I have a text because there's an artist named Gashi, right? There's an artist named Gashi that I found about 5-6 years ago. I was in a session with this artist and he ended up leaving early because he didn't really like the way the session was going. And the songwriter was a guy named Gashi. He ended up becoming an artist on RCA Records and having a big record and working with DJ Snake and having songs with like some of the biggest artists in the world. And I texted him today and I said, what up, Gashi? How are you? And I wrote him, thank you for trusting my team yesterday, because we shot a video with him yesterday. And he said, dude, they are very incredible. And honestly, the best time I ever had on a shoot. He said, Primo is one of my directors. He says, he's my guy and I really love him. Such great energy, super on point. I said, that's what I love to hear. It's a culture over here and good vibes. We all believe you're a superstar and always here to help in any way we can. You got to come over to the house for food sometime. And he's like, man, I love you, dude. You are family to me and the feeling is mutual. And I'm very, very proud of you, of where you've gone. Def will be pulling up. And that's really that's a real message, like on my phone.
Bam. You get me?
Like, you get me? It's like, Ooh. And that's what it's about. It's about like,
love it.
Hey man, just like, I appreciate, and like the last video I did for Gashi, like was 5 years ago in Las Vegas with a song with DJ Snake. And I shot it for $0 just because I believed in the song. And then 4 years later, he came back to me and he said, yo, I got $100,000 for a video. You get me? So it goes to show you that like, but throughout those 4 years, I was still always supporting love. He unfollowed me off of Instagram a few times and things like that, but I would stay consistent. And people see that. You get me? People see that shit. You're trying to make an effort to be in my life and to support me and to be there for me. And it's just like a relationship with your family. It's like a relationship with a director and an artist. It's any relationship you have. I always encourage people to, you know, if you really fuck with someone and in your heart you fuck with them, never stop. You get me? Never stop showing love and always every 3 months check in on them. Hey, how you doing? Everything good with you? Just checking on your mental health. You straight? All right, cool. Yo, this COVID shit just happened. You good, man? Anything we can do for you? All right, cool. And it's being there for people on their lows as well as their highs and making sure you have that understanding with people, because once you're always there for the people on their highs, but you're never there for them in the lows, they're going to take notice. And then guess what? They might be low here now, but then guess what? I've seen these same low artists turn around, become the superstar worlds doing stadiums. You get me? And then like, you know, gifting me certain things and helping me in certain situations, walking me in certain rooms. And I'm like, thank you so much. And they're like, I'm like, why do you do this for me? And they said, Edgar, you just been real with me from day one. So all I can do is be real back. And that's all you can expect.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you build relationships, man. You're genuine, you're authentic, you're real. Like you treat people how you want to be treated, you know, yeah. And you do a fantastic job at it. Yeah. Obviously talk to us about how you got to be.
You got
to
train people how to treat you as well. Never forget that. You get me? You got to let people know that like, hey, like I always tell people, like if someone hits me up for like a $5,000 video nowadays, I'm like, look, I love the song. I love what you're doing and stuff like that. I said, look, I have a company that I can handle it and stuff like that. And I'll oversee it as much as I can. And we'll go from there. because, you know, you have to separate that too, because I feel like people just, they just accept anything, but you have to like train another person to like, yo, how do you want to be fit? Like, what's your worth? What's your value? You have to answer those questions first before anyone else can. And if not, they're just going to put a price on you. And you, when you don't agree with that, you're going to be like, you're going to feel slighted. You get me? And that's basically your own fault at that point. You got to train people to show them how to treat you. And I think that's a very, very big mistake a lot of directors do. They get, you know, they start, you know, getting really too close to the artist, or they get this and this. And it's like, yo, like, it's cool to be close to an artist and be friends with everybody. But, you know, when it comes to business, they have to understand that it's business. And when it's personal, it's personal. So that's why with Gashi, I can have a personal relationship, but as well, I have a business relationship where he respects my work and he understands that I'm not going to do a video for X amount of dollars. You get me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's really hard for younger creators to find that fine line, because it is a fine line. You know, it's you, especially when you're younger, it's like you're so desperate for that gig, you know, like, or you're so desperate for this job to go well that you'll kind of do anything. But it's also like, but you also need to set your boundaries. You need to be, you know, professional and remind them that this is a business for both of you, you know, and it needs to be that healthy balance, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And I think it's just communication, you know, it's treating people like real people, of course, genuine, authentic, creating trust, clear communication between the two of just like, yo, I love you, but I got to eat too, you know?
I agree. No. And then, you know, and sometimes like even to this day, like I just did something for Air Jordan. I did the Travis Scott Cactus 6 production. And if you see on my Instagram, there's some photos of that I did. And I produced this thing for this photographer named Masood. And I literally did the whole thing for $0. You get me? And people would look at it and be like, damn, like you probably got paid like $100,000 for that. And it's like, no, I did it for $0. And you know why? It's because I'm choosing to do this project because I'm hoping that they could see my willingness and my effort to want to build a relationship with them, because it's not about the money. It's about just creating the art and being there for them and understanding that, okay, I may not get another gig from this job, even though I'm doing it for $0, but for the slightest chance, there's an opportunity where I can get something back, where they can provide me a commercial or another event or something, you know, to be incorporated with the brand. It would be a major look for me and my company. So I got to make those decisions at times. You get me? And you just do things out of straight, like I said, you got to follow your intuition. And if it's something that you believe in, don't worry about the money. The money's going to come. But if it's just a job and it's just something that like, oh shit, I don't even like the record, but like that, you know, do what you got to do, you know, like just treat it like it's business affair. And, you know, you pay me and I give you this.
Yeah.
That's it. That I mean, what it is.
You kind of got two videos, right? You got the passion videos that you just really love and you support and you want to do no matter what. And then you got the videos where you're making money. This is the business, you know, like, it needs to make sense in both ways.
Yeah. And just, and if it's up to you to like really try to like understand that, all right, cool. If this person is making, giving me this money, right? And I need to make this video, like, I always have a saying where like I tell people like I treat my money like your money like it's my money. Like even if it's an artist I don't like, I'm not gonna like I don't really wanna like I'm not in the business to be like, all right, cool, I'm gonna do a $10,000 video and I'm gonna spend $500 on the video, I'm gonna pocket $9,500. Cause when I have done that, there's been situations like at this point in my career, like people hit me up all the time, be like, yo, I'll give you $30,000 to shoot me outside your house. Just give me two clips, cut that shit up and put your name on it, and I want it. And I say, look, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even do that because I'm a big believer in karma. And I understand when you just start taking people's money and their hard work and stuff like that, and you take advantage of people, I know how it comes back and haunts them because people have done it to me and I've seen where they are now. And I don't want to be nowhere near in that same conversation of where they are because it's not a good place. I basically will always try to stay myself. I always try to stay grounded. And that's why I started my company with all my best friends. You get me? From childhood. Like I've known all my producers on my company who are doing all these Nicki Minaj videos and these big Russ videos and all this stuff. Like these are my best friends who produce it. So it's like, I'm in a dreamland right now, living my best life, having fun working, you know, making my fair share of what I feel like I'm owed. Awesome. And then just going from there, you get me? And seeing how far I can take it and taking it step by step and day by day. And as I keep working, I meet new people and get introduced to new things and new platforms, and I'm just trying to make it all work and figure it all out. You get me?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
When you're approaching videos, you know, like there needs to be a point where it's like, hey, this video gets results, you know, like this video gets views, this gets plays, whatever the results that they're looking for. Like when you're approaching the creative process, how much is that a part of it? Or is it how much of it is just like, let's make this visually a banger? Like, how do you approach a video and say, hey, let's just make sure this is a success, you know, like whatever that success may be, yeah. You know, how do you define that and how do you approach that?
Well, like, I think if you're going to do music videos, like, you got to love music. You get me? Like, there's a lot of directors in this who they just use music videos, but they're not really passionate about music artists or music things or music related, you know, subjects. And I'm a big, big fan of music. So I love like hip hop and I love like Latin music and I love the stuff that I do. So like when I get a record from like I just got this record, I'm not going to say who, but like, and I was like, holy fuck. Like they just hit me up for a video. Like I'm such a fucking I'm not a fangirl, but I'm like, oh shit, I've grew up listening to this person. You get me? And I'm like, I remember like being at a party and like listening to this song. And like now this same artist is reaching out directly to me to do a video. And I'm like, so I try not to get jaded and like, and understand that like, damn, like this is like, these are people that I've looked up to and I wanted to work with. And now like I'm at a level where, you know, they're showing me respect and stuff like that. Obviously in the beginning stages, you're probably not going to get that. But if you can keep going and you get to, you can cross that line of what you want to do, I think you're going to be in a good, you're going to be in good company because it's a nice place to be right now where like people hit me up for videos and it's just like, all right, cool. I get to do whatever I want. All right, cool. This is the budget. All right, approved. Oh shit. And the only reason why is because like I've worked like these 10 years to get there. You get me? And it's kind of beautiful. That's why me and Russ are so alike because we both have that 10-year journey. And I always have a quote that says slow success builds character and fast success builds egos. You know? So it's like, I always look at that as like that because I just took my time and I learned everything. I appreciate my accountants. I appreciate my business manager. I appreciate my producers. I appreciate my PAs, my director of photographies, my production designers, everything, because I've done every job in the game. So like my best advice back to what you're saying about young directors is try to learn a little bit of everything. You get me? A lot of directors just want to be behind a, you know, a monitor and look at some stuff. It's like, yo, why don't you try learning a little bit about art teams and a little bit about the production team and the camp and how to build a camera. Because when you do that, you have a different appreciation for those people. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing. You get me? Like a lot of people haven't done that. And all they do is just obviously, and there's nothing wrong with just creating ideas, but you have a different like feeling to them. You get me? And then you like connect with them a little bit more. So when I see a PA picking up trash, I'll get right next to him and pick up the trash with him so he can understand that, look, I'm here for you and you're here for me. Let's do this together. And like together we can make a great video and we can all be a part of this because filmmaking is the one thing that you just can't do by yourself.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about, you know, kind of being in the position you are now, you know, kind of making some of these bigger, more, you know, executive calls and, you know, managing a team, you know, picking people or working with them, deciding who directs what, who's producing what, dealing with scheduling different times. Everyone's got their own personal lives as well. You know, like help us out here. Give us just a little bit of advice on, you know, what you've learned along your journey of building out this team and working with different personalities and relationships and making sure everyone feels, you know, accomplished, welcomed, appreciated, et cetera. You know, like what are some of your tips to successfully building a team?
My biggest tip is don't rush. You know, I feel like a lot of people want to rush into things. A lot of people want to be the biggest director overnight. And at one point, I have tweets at 2012 being like, yo, I'm going to be the biggest director next year. Fuck everybody. Ah, like, you get me? Like, I have all that energy. You get me? And I remember playing in middle school, like with my friends. I'm like, oh, when I get out of high school, I'm going to make the Forbes list. Like, oh, like, watch. When I'm 21, I'm going to have a house, you know? And I used to think like that, it's okay to be a big dreamer like that. But you have to be realistic with yourself as well. You know, if you're not putting in the work and the effort, you're not going to get none of that stuff. And that's kind of why I give so much free game, because I understand that like starting a production company, like there's no way of me skipping steps. Even with my directors, all my directors on my roster have their own production company. So I show them, look, this is how did you do it. Some are going to understand that entrepreneur side. Some are going to be like, you know what? That's not for me. I just want to stay on the creative side. And that's amazing as well. But I always be like, look, just be open to everything, and because it could benefit you. And you never know, because I ended up falling in love with the business side of things. I thought I was just a creative in the beginning. And then I started doing all the business and I was like, wait, this is super cool. like how I can negotiate deals. And I know the psychology behind the art of negotiation and all this stuff. And I start doing all this stuff and I just get super excited about it now. So when I'm locking in deals and signing contracts, I'm like, whoa, shit, I made that happen. And it makes me feel fulfilled. Or I'll put this director with this producer to do this artist, combine it, do that. He gets paid this much. He gets paid this much. He gets paid this much. I get paid this much. Shit. And all from my computer. And I'm like, oh shit, this is kind of cool. So that's just kind of how I look at it now. You get me? It's just it's a process. It's a process. So don't feel rushed. You get me? Like you might at the time be like, damn, I really want to make it tomorrow. But like, and if you do, you're very lucky and very fortunate. But at the end of the day, it's just like, don't rush yourself, you know? Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the now. It's fun. Like, because once you make it work, you're not going to have fun and you're just going to beat yourself up.
Yeah. Talk to us about the 30 under 30 Forbes list. Like, how did that happen, come about? Talk to us about that.
Again, it's all relationships, right? So obviously, I work hard. I have a good resume, all et cetera, et cetera. And my web designer, actually, he's now the COO of my company, right? So he's a chief operating officer. But when I met him, I was just out of high school and I just turned 17. And I was like, oh, I want to start a website, eggarrestives.com. And I ended up starting this website with this guy named Dante Austin. And he designed my website. He had a company called Yellow Fever. And I just reached out to him and I found him on, like, I think, I don't know, MySpace or Facebook or whatever I found him on. And he ended up knowing someone in the Forbes panel, and she was talking to him about, oh, like, yeah, I'm on the 30 under 30 panel. You know, we're looking for some people, blah, blah. Would you have any suggestions? And this same guy was like, yo, like, you should check out this kid named Edgar Estevez. Like, you know, he's not the most popular, you know, but he owns his own business. He's doing all these videos. He's doing about 25 to 35 productions a month. And in like, something that's never been heard of, you get me? And then people are like, damn. So she started doing her research on me, and then she started seeing that, oh, like he got a real story. Damn, he's an immigrant, that all this, and he still overcame all the adversity. So, you know, they reached out to me and they said, yo, we're gonna put you and we're gonna submit your name. So once they brought it up in the panel, I guess they chose me. And then I was like, hey, fuck it. And it's funny because the same day I made the Forbes 30 under 30, I was the same day as my inauguration for my citizenship. So when I became a citizen, the same day when I'm getting I have my little flag, I'm literally get a text and I'm looking while I have my flag as Donald Trump's on the screen looking at me. I'm like, oh shit. I just got on the Forbes 30 under 30. And then everyone started texting me and I was like, hell the fuck yeah. And I didn't even know it was going to happen. And then I was like, damn, I was so excited because, you know, Forbes is such a big publication. And it was like, at the time that really does help me, like, you know, get into the room sometimes, you know? People seeing that and even you guys bringing it up in the podcast. So I'm not going to take the accolades away, you know, like I'm just very grateful that they submitted me and I was accepted to be in there with Billie Eilish and DaBaby. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is insane, you know, but I worked hard and, you know, it's showing it. So I got to, you know, accept the love and the compliments because sometimes it's hard to, but, you know, it's amazing.
Damn, man.
Yeah.
Hats off, salute. Like that Max. Was definitely something I was chasing as well. I mean, that's just a huge accomplishment. And obviously you've worked your butt off for it, you know, and you're very deserving. So congrats again to you on that.
Yeah.
With the executive producing side, like you talk about, you know, you loving the business, putting these teams together, negotiating deals. What else is like for those that don't really know like what that executive producer role is for the music video world or running a business, talk to us a little bit more about those duties and how, you know, like how you oversee everything in that kind of way.
Yeah. I think what executive producing is it's a beautiful thing. I just really think it really comes down to, like, I remember when I was directing and I was like, oh, I want to reach out to that DP. And I'm like, damn, he just never emails me back. Like maybe because I don't have the work or this or that. And now I'm an opportunity where as a director turned executive producer, I have a lot of relationships. And like when my directors are like, oh, I want to do this type of video, I can come in and be like, hey, let me suggest, because it's always a creative's decision. Like in my company, I always want people to, like, you know, make sure they have their own backbone and they understand to make their own decisions. I don't want to just be like forcing them to do what I tell them to do. Like, I don't think that's the right way. So I try to teach them along the process and be like, yo, like, why don't you use this DP because he's done some similar stuff to your treatment and do that. Yo, why don't you get this costume designer? Hey, why don't you like this? Wow, like your this idea, it's too expensive. They only have $30,000, but you wrote an idea that costs $60,000 to execute the right way. Yeah, we can scale it down, but I think the quality of the video might turn out poor. So it's like we make these decisions and, you know, you advise people and you give them suggestions. And if they take it and they're willing to, I think that's how something gets formed. And then next, you know, you got your right DP, you got your right production designer, you got your right G&E team, you got people with positive attitude on set. Like, oh, shit, you have a Steadicam one take shot. Let's make sure we get a good Steadicam because you don't want to be on set and have someone just lopsided and not knowing what to do just because you're trying to save a few bucks. You get me? And then, like, honestly, you know? So it's just like, and that's kind of what I tell my directors all the time. And it's just like, and at the, as an executive producer, I sit down with them and I'm like, hey, what artist do you want to work with? You get me? Make me a list so I can go out there and I can see if I can go reach out to them. Hey, like, who are some cinematographers you would like to work with? So let's find a project that could fit both of your vibes so you guys can go create something. Hey, have you never tried something with dialogue? Let's do a video with sound so you can understand that and understand that process. So I just try to like implement little things. And as they grow, they find their styles, you know? And I'm really big into building up directors from zero, like from their first video all the way to having that $200,000, $300,000 budget for a music video, because it gives me the chance to like mold them into kind of like what our directors and the culture that we represent at Blank Square to make something amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Edgar, can we talk a little bit about, you know, diversifying your income too, you know, some other different ways, you know, that you make sure you got some money rolling in. Like I know you believe you kind of manage some artists, correct? Like Jordan Hollywood. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like your decision to do that, why? And just a bit more about, you know, as a business owner and operator, how you're able to, again, diversify your income and make sure you're getting paid while you sleep.
Yeah, no, 100%. I don't manage Jordan, but he's one of my good friends for like 14 years now. I shot some of his first early music videos and now he signed a quality control and he's about to do some amazing things. But me and him actually manage an artist together and he's my partner. And we just created IB4. And, but yeah, like I manage like illustrators, cartoon artists, engineers, producers, a bunch of different talented people because I also have a record label. And I always tell people like I buy my own Alexa minis and all that stuff. I buy my own lenses. And so now I'm kind of creating my own little Tyler Perry studio in a small form. So basically I have my own equipment rental business. I have my own catering business. I have my own, you know, production supply business. I have so many businesses at this point, and that's kind of why the Forbes 30 and the 30 kind of came full circle. Now I'm working on a studio and I want to build a soundstage back in my hometown and I want to do all these beautiful things, obviously that are to come, and I'm just manifesting them right now. But you have to diversify your income because when my directors are doing a project and I'm making an executive producer rate, it does help me. That way when I'm doing my videos, I don't have to be stretched out for a dollar. You get me? So if I lose my rate on my video, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I could put it all into my creative. But then I have 10 other productions going on in that week where, all right, I made a few here. I made a few here. I made some good money here. I made some good money there. And boom, boom, boom. Next, you know, you're not really stressed about the money. And I remember being on set like, damn, we're about to go to overtime and having to look at my producer. And he's like, it's going to come out of you. And I'm like, damn. Every time I'm like, damn. It's always going to come out of me. I'm never going to make no money in this shit. And my mom had a joke every Christmas. Edgar, you ain't making no money. Edgar, you ain't making no money. Edgar, you ain't making no money. And then finally I started making money. It's because I started diversifying my incomes and understanding like, okay, I'm going to set up this shooter with Russ to do his tours now. I'm going to set up this person to do that music video. Okay, I'm going to sign my producer to, you know, make this beat for my artist. I'm going to go do that. I'm going to go do this. Got in investments, you know, 401ks and tax write-offs and all that bullshit. Like all that stuff come full circle. And then next, you know, I start saving money and starting hire. And then with all the money I made, I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to double down and hire my staff and make sure they're paid. Because to have a great team, you got to make sure people are getting, you know, some good money, you know, like nobody's going to work for free, especially if you're doing all these big things and they see you driving in a Tesla, Forbes 30 under 30. They're expecting, you know what I'm saying, to grow in your company and you got to show them that growth. And that's basically what I do. All I spend money now is on good restaurants and my staff, honestly.
Love that, man.
How big is your staff at the moment?
Yeah, it's about 25 to 30 of us at any given time. There's some in Florida, so that's why I say that. I built it out based in LA, but also I'm based out of Miami and we're looking to be based out of New York very, very soon.
Damn, 25 to 30. How many of those might be full time?
Oh, everyone's full time here for sure. Yeah, there's no part time over here. You know what's beautiful about it though, and a lot of people don't even know this, but like, you know, the accounting department, my company is ran by my sister and her husband, which is my brother-in-law, you know, and they're really, really good at that. The head of production is my best friend. The other head of production is my other best friend. My post supervisor is my best friend. You get me? And then they've got opportunities to bring their friends. And then because it's all about teaching each other, you get me? And it's all about, and like I said, that's why I'm always so passionate about people teaching others, you know, and giving all the game, because it's like, if you teach your homie and the next, you know, every day we go to work, all my friends are downstairs right now at a conference table right now, literally like in my house, and they're all working downstairs. And it's just like, after this thing, I'm going to go downstairs and just talk shit. And then I'm going to work a little bit and then talk more shit. And then I'm just going to do it like that. And it doesn't feel like work anymore. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm very, very excited for what's to come. And they've all grown so tremendously, and they've found their own passions within, you know, my passion. They found their own passions, and it's like, wow. And like, one of my friends wants to get into tech, so now we're going to help him start that. My other friend wants to start a post house. I'm like, let's help you start that. And we can come together, and as a team, we can make these infrastructures so that are cool. Going to work for us. Yeah. So it's honestly, I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful for all the stuff that I've been, you know, all the blessings I've received for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, you make it happen. You know, you have a great attitude, you work hard, and you're building teams, real relationships, and you're growing together. You're bringing everyone up with you, you know? So when it comes time for them to do stuff, they give back.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. I definitely agree. You definitely got to give back. And like my best friends, I moved three of them like 2 years ago, and I told them, hey, I'm going to move you into a house. I'm going to pay the rent for a year. All you got to do is just be at my house every morning at 8 a.m. and leave by like 4 o'clock and just watch me work and ask all the questions you can. I said, you have 1 year to do this. Now that's my producer, my production manager, and my production coordinator for all our videos. You get me? And now they've taught other people. And now my production coordinator has turned into a producer himself. My production manager he's now joined the head of production, and the producer is now the head of production. And now they're all executive producers. So now we fill those spots in, and we find new people along our journey, and we find, okay, you're going to fit with us. Come here. Let's do it together. You have the same mindset we have. All right, cool. You're positive. You look at things in the right situations. You're always trying to find solutions and never problems. Come join us, and let's go work together, and let's go do this. And what are your dreams? Let's make those happen as well.
Yeah, I mean, but that requires a lot of investment on your side. You know, trust, investment of just like, hey, I believe in you, so I'm going to put it forward, and I'm going to give you a year to like, let's grow together. And I know that once you are finished growing, like, you're going to be in a position where we're both going to succeed, and you trust in that.
Yeah, it's a long-term play. You get me? And then there's some long-term plays that I've invested into 5-6 years into some people, and you know, and then they go a different way. And it's like, you know, I think that's the universe trying to tell me that, okay, those people, they're talented, they're great, but they're just for their thing. You get me? And you have your thing. So let's keep them separated. There's a world that exists where both of you guys can coexist, and let's just go crazy. And then sometimes you, like, even me growing up, I was like, damn, I used to feel slighted. You know, what sucks is like, you invest time into somebody and it's like, damn, you know, and then it doesn't work out the way you want it in long term, but it's okay. You get me? Like, at the end of the day, if you get 100 people to be trying to build with you long term, and if you get one person, you should be grateful for that one person that you got. You get me? And that's kind of look at it. And I've had a chance to have about 25, 30 of them. So, and I think these people are going to be with my company for a long, long time. And I'm very excited. And you get me? And that's just the way it goes. You know, some people, you know, they don't see your vision, and you can't get blinded by that, for real. You got to just continue doing your stuff and just have fun and wish everyone the best. And you just pray that, you know, your time comes, and, you know, and just keep working hard and having great effort. And I think you're going to get a little luckier than usual.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. I completely agree. And I'm sure there was one time in your career where you kind of supported someone, you brought someone up, and then they might have like gone behind your back and stolen an artist, or like, you know, just taken something and kind of gone that other way. Like, how do you approach that? Because I mean, it happens so much in the music video industry. Has it happened to you? Like, how do you approach that?
Oh man, I'll tell you a story about, I got stories for days, by the way. So I'll tell you a story about this kid that I found in New York, and he came to Florida and he's like, yo, I want to be a PA. I was like, okay. I didn't know he lived in New York. And he's like, yo, I'm going to come to Florida. And I didn't even see the message. So I didn't even know he was from New York. I just thought he was from Florida and he just wanted to be a PA. So I was like, look, here's my boy's contact, you know, hit him up and you can be a PA and, you know, feel free to come out. And he said, I said, yo, if you take some photos and if I like them, I'll pay you for them. And if I don't like them, I'm sorry. You know, just it is what it is. And he came out and he took amazing photos. And I was like, wow. I was like, yo, do you want to come to Puerto Rico to meet tomorrow? And then I found out while I was meeting him, he's like, yo, I live in New York. I flew down here to, you know, just to be a PA. And I was like, whoa, you flew from New York, bought your own hotel to not even possibly not get paid. And you just believed in yourself. I said, okay, you're the type of guy I want to work with. So I was like, yo, come to Puerto Rico with me.
Yeah.
And he came to Puerto Rico. We started taking, he started taking all my behind the scenes photos. So when I did I think it was a Fuse ODG video, he's an African artist. And I was doing it in Puerto Rico. He ended up taking all the photos. He did a great job. I connected him with the artist. He ended up going to Africa for like 2 months, fully paid from the artist. And it was great. And he created that own opportunity. So after he came back from Africa, I'm like, hey, do you want a job? You know, do you want to take our official behind the scenes for all our photos or all our video shoots? And he was like, of course, man. And then I moved him in with me. And when I moved him in with me, man, great kid, great attitude. I'm thinking like this. But every time I was sending him a check, what I didn't know is he was taking that check number and he was adding an extra zero to the end of it. You get me? And he was taking check numbers and he was photoshopping the electronic checks. And instead of check number 47, he was making it 147. So it's different checks all the time. And he's doing some illegal stuff, right? And this whole time, like, and I'm like, and next thing you know, I hire my sister and my husband as my business manager. This happened years ago. So it's water under the bridge now. And then the first day he got hired, my sister's husband, basically she ended up telling me like, yo, Edgar, do you know that this guy has stole X, you know, tens of thousands of dollars from you? I wouldn't even say the number because if I said it, you'd be like, whoa. And I'm like, because I was moving so fast, I couldn't handle the finance. I couldn't handle the video stuff. And that's why I knew I had to put someone in a position to handle that stuff. So I'm not slipping. And then I see that, wow, over months, he's taken this much from me? Wow. I even fired him till another 3 months.
Backstab.
But I didn't even fire him till another 3 months. Because I didn't have another behind the scenes photographer that was as good as him. Because I didn't have someone to fill that void in. And I was thinking, I was like, because I called the bank and we knew we were going to get our money back and it was going to take a bit. But so once we started getting our money back a few months later, we ended up getting the money back after the investigation and all that stuff. And then he spent all the money. And same thing with me with the location I was talking about earlier where I spent all the money and then I was like, fuck, I have to figure this out.
Ooh, karma.
That hit him. And then I just told him, hey, when it hit him, I was like, look, now you know. Well, I just want to let you know. I appreciate you. Here's your checks for the last works that you did. I appreciate you, but you got to go. I gave you my trust and you hurt me. And, you know, you hurt my feelings. And it's those type of people who make me believe that there's evil people that exist out here. You get me? Because you give them a room, you give them food, you give them a roof over your head. You give them an opportunity. You give them a job. You know, you introduce them to all the people around you and your close loved ones. And then you start realizing that, damn, some people. Yeah. But I don't even blame him because at the time, like, he has a very big past. So I don't even like to judge people on that kind of stuff. You get me? Because it's like, you don't know what brought someone to that decision. And I just try not to judge them. So I'm like, look, man, let's just go our separate ways. And same thing happened recently. And I'm like, look, man, no bad blood, man. Just go do, you know, if it's, and a lot of people look at like kind of like what we do as a director is they're like, oh, it's easy. You know, I want that. I can do that. But I always tell people, if it's so easy, then you do it. You know, because at the end of the day, it's just like, I know how much hard work, even doing these interviews, like, you know, I was just writing a treatment. I stopped and I'm about to write one right after this just because that's the hunger in me. And that's why I want to succeed because it gives me chances to create opportunities for amazing people and affect the world. It's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah. As we work to wrap up here, can we maybe end on a brighter note of just like tips for young creators getting started now that, you know, want to be like you when they grow up? Like, what would you tell them?
Yeah. Handle what's in your control, everything outside your control. you know, do as much as you can, work as hard as you can, but always make sure you're okay. Get me? Because when I was coming up, I gave a lot of myself to the game. And I like, there's parts of me that I feel like are still missing because I just work so hard. One time I got diagnosed with amnesia, you know what I'm saying? Like, where I was like, I was forgetting things. And I was like, damn, because I was just the lack of sleep that I was doing just to pursue my career. And I just think it's just like, you know, take care of yourself. You get me? Just take care of yourself and, you know, yeah, do as much as you can. And the harder you work is the luckier you're going to get. And just, you know, be mindful of opportunities. You get me? Put yourself out there, you know, be confident. Especially when speaking with people who are confident, be very, very confident. Show up for the moments and, you know, keep elevating and keep learning. And because the moment you stop learning is that's the insanity moment, you know? So just keep grinding, keep having fun, you know, hopefully you can build something that, you know, you can create relationships where you can partner things together to, you know, do what I do. But, you know, I always tell people like the way I did it was a very different way than I think a lot of companies, because, you know, like our company, like our directors literally like talk to each other all the time. You know, we're all hanging out. We all go out together. We all have fun. But like, I know how some companies are and they're not like that. You get me? And there's probably a reason why, but I just choose to, you know what I'm saying? Make sure like sometimes we get together and we all just watch music videos together and we're like, oh, what do you like about that? Oh, that was kind of cool. Yo, check this one out. Yo, this new DP just shot this one. Let's go check it out. You get me? And it's like, so if you can build a team, you know, it'll be the best thing you ever do. But if you need to go solo, do it until, you know, people start believing in the vision, you know?
Let's work, oh, man. Yeah. Let's love it, man. Work.
Let's work.
An episode, man. Gems on gems on gems. Personality, genuine, authentic. Edgar, thank you for showing up today. We really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Yeah, man. Truly.
For our listeners, you can follow him on Instagram at Edgar Estevez. And you can follow our podcast at Learn Videography and at Industry Jump. Follow Kyle at Cal Visuals and myself at JJ Engler. But otherwise, that's Learn Videography signing out. Edgar, thank you so much again for your time, man.
Much love, bro. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys. JJ, Kyle, you already know what time it is. Learn filmmaking. Let's go, baby.
Let's work.